Welcome to episode 146 of Your Overseas Connection. We are the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That's gaming for the elderly. And today is December 13th, 2011. And I'm your host, Greg DeLacy. And joining me this week, we have a full slate of guest hosts. Or not really guest hosts, just hosts. You guys are hosts too, right, Mike? Mr. Mike Chin? Host extraordinaire? Mike.
Well, I was just making you think that. I was going, well, really. Yeah, I'm here. I suppose I'm a host as well. What up, yeah, Greg?
You are. Not much. Well, a lot, actually, but we'll get into that shortly. Sweet. Also on the show this week, everybody's favorite, Richard Primrose.
Yeah, righto. yeah, you're right, everybody. Yeah.
We're good.
This is not the John Virgo speaking. Good evening.
No, it is not. It is not. It is indeed just you, Mr. Richard Primrose. So a little bit of change up for this week. Mr. Christopher Matthew is going to be joining us shortly. I mean, we expect him within any minute, but we're pushing ahead to save some time because we have a feeling this might be a longer podcast. But and that's probably because we have Mr. Steve Conger with us this week.
Hello, Gregory.
That was horrible.
How are you?
I'm good. And Steve, we brought you specifically in to give some Wii love and also Resistance 3 love, because clearly neither one of those, either the system or the game, got any kind of love from this crew.
Yeah, well, you know, my like I've said before, my sword is definitely skyward and has been for a little while now. So, but I'm sure we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yeah, there's a lot that I could say about what you just said, but I'm going to refuse. I'm going to refrain.
And it's probably exactly what I meant.
Yeah. Yeah, but never mind. We're just going to move on, pushing past it. I think we really should just jump into what we've been playing.
What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so what we've been playing? Well, Mr. Conger, let's get yours out of the way right off the gate.
All right, so I got one game and one game to talk about, and it is also known as Game of the Decade.
Game of the Decade.
And that is, as I referred to a minute ago, Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. Now, I have to apologize to you guys because the last time I was on to talk a little weeness, as it were, it was sort of a little cop-out because I hadn't played as much as I wanted to because I was, you know, I was trying to wait to play with my wife. Well, I have just foregone that...
I've got the giggles. You say play with your wife, I can't help myself.
And then I heard four, and I thought for sure four play was coming, but it was foregone.
Foregone.
Four scores 7 years ago.
So I literally decided to just go balls deep into Zelda. And
wow, going back.
Hey, there's another
playing
one.
With the wife. I know.
So
wait, wipe or wife?
No. So, Skyward Sword is absolutely delectable. I mean, it is just a delicious game. If you, and Greg, we talked about this the other day. If you are at all or ever were interested in motion controls or alternate input device type of things, I believe that you completely owe it to yourself to at least buy a Wii for $99, buy this game, and then sell them both used when you're done. I think everybody deserves to play this game. It is amazing so far. Yeah, I'm telling you, I know it sounds crazy, and I know that I sound delusional for saying that.
Y'all left at me.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm hearing.
So
you're enjoying
it. Here's the deal. Very, very much so.
Okay.
And just for the record, I have been sitting on the couch playing it. I haven't been standing up, but there have been times like where you can pick up a bomb flower, you can roll it like a bowling ball. Okay. You can't really do that with your arm sitting on the shoulder of the couch.
Also, good advice for regular bowling. Not advice to do from a seated position.
Yeah. So here's why this game is so great. Number one, and to try to keep it vague, I am doing things in a Zelda game that I never thought that I would ever be doing.
Going balls deep.
Well, that I've done that before multiple times.
In a Zelda game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they have taken what they've learned in sort of the Mario franchise with how intelligently they layer in new mechanics, you know?
Right.
And they have done that in this along with, let's say, I don't know, there were parts in like Metroid Prime Corruption 3 where you would use the Wii Remote to grab a Switch, you would pull it out, twist it, and push it back in. Like, they've done some things like that. But the biggest thing is they've taken this Wii Motion Plus, this idea of sort of one-to-one control, and they've completely blown it out of the water. So all of your gadgets now operate within the realm and the rule set of what Wii Motion Plus does. And there is barely any IR functionality. It's mostly all done, like everything that you used to do in like Twilight Princess, yeah, it's done all with the Wii Motion Plus, and it's amazing.
Okay.
I can't get over it.
Give me a for instance of one of the gadgets or one of the techniques, and then we can kind of move on from that.
Okay. So, okay, let's just say something like there is a whip.
Okay.
You know, the whip was in what was it? Wind Waker. So the whip now.
I mean whip.
Can yeah the whip.
No whip.
Whip. Cool whip. Whip. Cool
the whip. Whip.
Cool whip. Sorry, couldn't resist.
Yeah. But it's something that, you know, obviously you lock onto something and you fling it to whip something. But by the same token, they have done. I don't know. I get so excited that I get ahead of myself. But they have taken enemies that you would whip and grab by the tail, and you yank them down to the ground, then pull out your sword and you work. Like, they've layered all these things in, and they sound sort of typical when you say them.
Okay.
But when you experience them, it's a totally different thing. And, you know, the whip can be used to pickpocket people, like if they have items and things like that, because there's a full
crowd. Wait, you're using the whip to pickpocket people?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Don't they kind of notice that
somebody just slapped me on the ass?
Well, they're bokoblins. They don't know any different. All they're worried about is cutting somebody up, you know.
Okay.
But the things that are neat, the combat is, I think, the most engaging that the series and maybe gaming has ever seen, possibly. Like, you'll fight some Stalfos, which are the skeleton creatures. You remember them from the original one. They'll have like two swords, and they will move the swords in like a V formation, and one will either be vertical and one will be horizontal, and the way that they block, you have to attack from that opposite angle. Well, here, you know, the next time you meet another Stalfos, this one has four arms and he's holding four swords, and now he's blocking, and now you don't know, you have to poke directly with your sword ahead. It is. I think the same way that Super Mario 3D Land is a clinic in Japanese platforming, this is a clinic on how to do an engaging motion-controlling action-adventure game.
Okay. I mean, I'm not 100% sold yet, but that's, I think, more just some of my bias from when we played it at E3.
There's so much I wish I could tell you.
I know!
Like, there's actually a story.
There's actually that's a like, story.
That's like a line from a trailer.
Yeah.
This year, John Anderson wants to save his kids. That's how much I wish I could tell you.
No, but I think that they're... I'm trying to find ways to dance around a lot of this stuff.
Steve, let me ask you this, Steve. And this is going to be a huge question.
Okay.
Is there any voice acting?
Sort of.
Sort of?
If you consider...
No, so no. There's no voice acting.
No, I'm telling you, but the writing has been good enough where I feel a connection with Fee, who is your sort. She's this version of Navi. You know, the hey, listen,
hey, but, yeah. Listen,
hi, hi.
She is. She's charming the way she's written.
Well, is she really charming the way she's written, or is she just charming in your head because you've got this, like, affection for...
Isn't it the same thing?
I guess.
Okay, maybe. Well, I don't know. Let me step back and kind of be objective.
Blew your mind, right?
See, the thing is, she is the essence of the goddess sword, which, you know, eventually is what's supposed to become the master sword. And she was sort of programmed by the goddess before all of this happened to be Link's sort of spirit guide through this adventure to protect, protect Zelda, technically. So I think part of the charm of that character is the fact that that character shows concern for you and you start to get attached, but you know that her concern is something that was programmed by someone else.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I think the story's fantastic so far, and, you know, I don't know.
Steve, but, Steve.
Yes.
Steve. I've played a few Zelda games in my time.
Okay.
Right. I've lost track of it a little bit over recent years. I've played A Link to the Past. I've played Ocarina of Time. I played Wind Waker. And I played the Phantom Hourglass.
Okay.
And, you know, I've lost interest in Zelda because I think it's kind of like the same thing over and over again. Now, do you think there's enough there for me? It's
the princess in trouble again.
I don't know.
Let me guess the story. Zelda's in trouble. Link's got to save her. And he's got to get some weapons. And when he gets the weapons, coincidentally, the same place he gets the weapons is also the kind of the weakness of the boss.
Sometimes, but not always. They've surprised me a few times.
Okay.
I will say that she is sort of in trouble, but not in the manner that you would think.
Was she got an STD or something?
No. I would not have been balls deep in that. Never mind. So it strays. I think it both strays from the formula and it. I guess it adheres to the formula too at the same time. But in all honesty, I think that its name should be breathed along the same breaths as A Link to the Past and Ocarina of Time, or, you know, Ocarina of Time,
that, whether it be that, 3D. I loved Ocarina of Time and Wind Waker. That was probably two of my favorite ones.
I think it's just as good, if not better. I mean, I think that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it is just as good, if not better. I can't believe, like, the one knock against the game is, you know, like I said before, is it starts very slow.
Right.
But, man, once it gets going, it – and that's another thing I think that they sort of learned from Mario Galaxy and things like that is it just never lets up. Man.
The biggest problem for me is that it requires the Motion Plus.
Yeah, but you know what?
It is.
I was looking – I was looking on eBay for just a Motion Plus, like a little dongle, and I think $6.50 US shipped, used.
Right, I'm going to look on eBay. eBay, UK. Right, let's see how much one of these dongle things are, because, you know, I like Zelda. It'd be nice to go back into a Zelda, but, you know, Motion Plus, the Wii, all that shit. So,
you know, it's really sad that it is 5 years too late. But by the same token, it's kind of nice to see that initial promise of, you know, motion controlling finally come to fruition.
So look, on eBay, I've found one for £6.95 for a Motion Plus.
I think that's worth it. I mean, what do you think that they would have it used in game or something like that for?
Yeah.
Probably more than that.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, you know, I think late in the cycle, I think this is a system seller, man.
I'll tell you what, Steve. I'm going to buy this Motion Plus, and I'm going to put it on my rental list.
Okay, I'll tell you what. If you do not like it, I will reimburse you the cost of your Motion Plus.
Wow, there you go. And that,
how about that? Motion Plus. I'm going to put my money.
100 pounds.
I'm going to put my money where my erection is.
Okay.
It's disturbing. It's really disturbing.
Right. I've committed to buy. Right. I'm buying this right on eBay live. I'm doing it live. Pay now. Done it. I bought the Martian Plus.
You're screwed.
Now I've got to log into PayPal.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. All right. Well, while we're done with that, so Steve, a big thumbs up from you on Skyward Sword.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's pretty much it for me. I just, I'll just be sitting here smiling and thinking about playing it while you guys are talking.
Okay. All right. So continuing on, Mike, let's talk about what you've been playing.
All right. So I've been playing, a game called Skyrim.
Yes.
We know this game. We know this game. And Greg, you gave me a challenge. Now, is there anything you want to say before I play this clip?
No, I'm actually quite scared / intrigued.
Right. No one knows what this clip is, listeners.
I now have five minutes before.
Yes, more Skyrim. Right, but I assure you, Rich, here we go. So you asked me to write notes as I go.
A journal,
okay?
If you will.
A journal, if you will. Here we go. 7:15 p.m. I leave the cave as a broken man. I didn't defeat the boss, but I'll be back, and he knows it. Upon leaving the cave, I find my horse, who's just standing there like a complete dick. I lost him 2 hours earlier, but now I've got him. Anyway, I get on him and find a house called Honning Brew at 7:20. Fuck all was in there, so I stole some shit from the owner's bedroom. Yeah, take that. At 7:40 p.m., I went to Dragon's Reach to buy some spells and shit because Stuart Fowler said that's some good advice. He was right. On the way out of Dragon Reach, I spoke to a man called Ida Half Battleborn. He tells me I'm a Battleborn now. Great. I spoke to the man very briefly. I walked past him 2 minutes later and he told me that I'd been a good friend to him. I suppose he doesn't have a lot of friends. I changed my quest to meet Galmar outside of Govergund. Who thinks of these stupid fucking names? Apparently we're going to fuck up the Imperials. We go into a cave together, and for some reason, the leader has told me to look for a switch. Everybody else is just wandering around waiting for me to do so. I mean, why are they picking on me? Anyway, we enter a room and kill some dude with a crown. That was at 8:30 p.m. This was when Lydia died. Meh. My quest led me to show an axe to one of the Jarls. Then I went to the Jarl and he said, great, now go back to him and show him the axe again. I mean, what the hell are these people doing? Upon return to whatever city I'm in, they tell me I'm going to take over Whiterun. 8:45. We have a surprisingly small army to take over a whole city. But fuck it, we'll do it anyway. 9:20. Whiterun is mine, bitches. At this point, I have a break. 10:15. My first random encounter with a dragon. He burnt my horse, but apparently my horse is fine now. I pick up the dragon's scales, which means I'm carrying too much, so I have to walk to Windhelm, and I'm only at the front gate. It has taken me 5 minutes to walk to the gate of Windhelm, and I was literally at the front of it, because I'm overcumbered with too much shit because of these dragon scales. 10:35. I'm still trying to find a place where I can sell all this shit. 10:54. Finally sell all this crap I'm holding. Then I realize I'm homeless. I need to buy a house somewhere. Off to Whiterun to house hunt. Find out it's £5,000 to buy a house. Fuck me, this market's ridiculous. 11:20. I finally found the Red Guard woman in Whiterun. She's quite fit, so I'll protect her, no matter what her morals are. She wants to see me in private. Oh yeah. 11:30. It turns out she's some kind of witch or something. Some prisoners want her dead. I don't know, I was too busy looking at her boobs. She says she wants me to save her. Well, fine. Putang always wins. 11:44. I'm on the way to kill those people that want this girl dead. Some bandits killed my horse. Apparently you can survive a dragon attack, but not three stupid bandits. It turns out that Redguard woman sold out the city. Bitch. Fuck it. I'm gonna sell the bitch out. I need the money for the house. 12:06 a.m. I step out the caves, and I'm on the way to turn this bitch in. But I see a mammoth. I'm gonna save my game and see if I can kill it. 12:10. Turns out that mammoth wasn't alone. There was a giant with it, and now I'm stuck in a rock with both of them staring at me. 12:11. Owned. Load game. 12:34. I sold the bitch out and got some gold. Spent 20 minutes trying to reach Falkreath. Didn't see the massive path that led straight there. Doe. 1:13 a.m. Overtaken Falkreath. Went in the wrong way. Supposed to go in the sewers, but I didn't. I just overtook it. Apparently after this quest I was given a house. 1:20. Still looking for my house. 123, still looking for my house. 125, while looking for my house, I find there's a dead woman. Turns out there's a Jack the Ripper on the loose. 137, I like this mission. It's like a detective mission. It's like L.A. Noir. 2 o'clock in the morning, I found the murderer, I think. It's good enough. I'll get gold for it anyway. For Skyrim! And that's what I've been playing.
Oh, I had to bite my tongue several times there. That was well done, Mike. Well
done.
That
was one session. I have two more to do. Tune in next week to see what happens next.
Yeah.
I love that that boss battle music that you used at the end of that little segment. That soundtrack is so good. Jeremy Soule is amazing. Like, he did Guild Wars, the Guild Wars soundtrack and things like that. He is just, he's
Greg,
phenomenal.
I'll go out my way to make this fantastic while we're playing. He knows the people who made the songs. Like, you're always better.
We don't care what the hell you said. We just like the music, Mike.
You know what I mean?
It boils down to him, like, yeah.
Oh. Man, I love the trumpet guy on that. Steve, yeah. He was great. So, like, yeah, you know, I like Skyrim now.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
I like Skyrim.
What we're going to do, and kind of we talked about this a little bit before the show, but we're going to hold off on a lot of our in-depth conversation, some of these bigger games. For when we...
Say,
yeah.
I
no,
like
no.
it, and the Thief Guild changed it for me. That's when it started to turn around.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. Mr. Primrose, I know exactly what you're going to talk about, and I can't wait to hear you talk about it.
For Skyrim?
No.
I've only been playing one thing.
Yes.
And you heard me get excited about it last week, so I went out straight away and got it the next day.
In fact, I'm going to buy it right now, because you've just reminded me of it.
Yes. I've been playing the You Monster expansion pack for Defense Grid.
Yes.
Yes. So if anybody didn't hear Greg last week, Defense Grid got together with Valve and they've made an expansion pack for Defense Grid.
Yep.
And basically, it's GLaDOS. And the guy who's in the first Defense Grid is in it as well, which is what I was most worried about. I thought they were going to completely scrub him out of it, but he's not.
Yeah.
So we get banter with GLaDOS and...
Wow. He's
Defense
a pretty guy,
Grid man. Yeah. I'll not blow any of the story of it, but all I'll say is I want to know how much involvement Valve have had in it, because they have completely switched up and screwed around with the gameplay. And it is awesome.
Yeah, so... So I actually bought the expansion pack as well. I played just a little bit, literally that very first, the first mission of the campaign. And I gotta say, it's hard. I don't know, maybe I'm just out of touch with my Defense Grid, but I mean, I found it quite challenging. And so I only got through the first mission, haven't really touched it since, but, the whole aesthetic of it felt kind of portalized, if you will.
Yeah. I've got two left to do. And it's the first one, it's well paced because they throw you in and it is hard to start off with.
Right.
But they do give you like a nice breather as well in between, and the breather moments are quite good, the way they explain it, but the switch up in the gameplay is awesome, and I'll not give away any of the secrets as to what it does, but it just pulls the full character of GLaDOS into it and just reminds you of how much of a bitch you can be. It's well worth playing, definitely. And there's lots of references in there to what we've already seen before, to do with the Portal universe. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
it's really, really good.
And relatively cheap, if I'm not mistaken. It's only 400 points.
And
some information about that. It's 400 Microsoft points on Xbox Live Arcade right now. You get 5 achievements for 50 points.
Right. Yeah. Plus, there's like, 30 levels?
Yep.
It's quite a big
DLC. Quite the deal.
Yeah.
Quite the deal for a little arcade game. It's a tower defense game, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. One of the levels as well, because I'm not really much of a Chivo whore, but there's one achievement that I can remember seeing on the original Defense Grader, and I was always a bit bewildered by why I'd not got it, but I never could be bothered to go back and get it. Well, this game basically forces you to get it because of the way they set a level up.
So I'm buying it right now. I'm clicking the button, confirm purchase. Now, I am going to be broke by the end of this episode.
Mike is going to be broke by the end of this episode.
15 hours of gameplay for 400 points.
You can't argue with that.
Wow.
Awesome. There you go. That's what I'm doing on Christmas Day.
All right. Well, Mr. Primrose, I suppose we can move on from you. And we're at this point going to bring Mr. Christopher Matthew into the show.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to get crowded. Alrighty, so we brought Mr. Matthew back in. So, Christopher Matthew, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yeah, I know you thought you were going to miss a lot, but you really haven't. You're actually just in time to talk about what you've been playing.
Oh, goody. Oh, you want me to start now? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Let's see. I've been playing Halo Reach, trying to do my legendary solo playthrough, and that's been tough, but I'm getting there. I've been playing Forza, of course. Thanks to some help from Mr. Uber Red Toe, I've got all the Ferraris, and now I think I just have to buy one more car to get the 5 most expensive cars achievement. And I finally got to driver level, or not driver level, affinity level 50, which took forever. But that's done. It takes a long time. 2.6 million XP you need to get to driver level, or affinity level 50.
Jesus.
Yeah. What else have I been playing? Of course, I've been playing tons of Battlefield 3. It seems to dominate most of my time.
Sorry, I couldn't come into the game yesterday, Chris. I was, like, in the room, but I wasn't really playing my Xbox. It was just on. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry?
You sent me an invite yesterday for Battlefield.
Oh, yeah. I checked a whole bunch of... I pretty much just invite my whole friends list every time I get on.
Yeah, he spams everybody.
If you play a freaking game every now and again, maybe I wouldn't bother you as much.
I do.
I do, too.
No, you don't.
Where were you Sunday morning where Mike, we were playing Gears of War 3?
Mike plays games. I never see Greg play games.
True. I see how it is.
True. Listen,
true story.
My games.
No, I don't.
The operative word in that is see.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's playing games.
Essentially the operative word.
Yeah. Fair enough. What else have I been playing?
We're kind of hoping you tell us.
Well, I'm thinking. So you're going to make fun of me for this, but I've dusted off the old Transformers War for Cybertron.
Why?
Because it's a
good man.
It's not bad. Yeah. It's it's like the multiplayer on that is kind of like a third person perspective Halo multiplayer almost with Call of Duty unlocks. If that makes any sense. So, yeah, they've increased it to permanently 5x XP, so I figure with that little help, maybe I can actually level my characters up. So, yeah, I've been playing that. And then lastly, played some Gears of War 3 yesterday. So thanks to the real Defoe, Thuper, and Mudda Trucka, we did the last act on insane difficulty in arcade mode.
Okay.
And that boss fight on insane difficulty is cheap.
Yeah.
We basically died and retried it, I think, maybe 9 or 10 times. And eventually, I guess somebody at Epic was listening to our game chat and like, I think that one dude is going to come kill us. And so the game glitched and the guards stopped spawning so we could just kill the queen. So apparently my rage paid off.
We're not going to talk about rage, right?
No, because I haven't played Rage.
Anything else in the playlist?
No.
Okay. For me, it was kind of a mixed bag. So Skyrim, Uncharted 3, enjoying my time with Uncharted 3.
Yeah.
I will say only it is not a perfect game, like some would have you believe. Finished the Modern Warfare 3 campaign. Definitely had some fun with that. And got in Gears of War 3 yesterday with Duke on the Veteran Gamers Playdate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. and had a lot of fun with that. I forget how much fun the Gears of War multiplayer is.
Good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is just, it's good fun. And then, like we said earlier, you know, a little smattering of Defense Grid, you monster. So,
yeah,
no, that was fun.
I'm excited to play that now.
You should be. I think you will enjoy it. It you know, it's addictive, just like it was before. And then, you know, one thing I kind of wanted to just go around the horn with real fast, the new dashboard. It came out last week. What does everybody think? Thoughts and impressions.
It's got good ideas, not very well executed for non-connect people.
Okay.
For example, some of the kind of like getting to the game's marketplace is a little bit wonky. The beacons didn't work as well as I thought they would. I can't see a whole list of all my friends' beacons. So if I just wanted to see all my friends' beacons, I can't. I only know if I put the game in, for example. It just didn't work as well as I thought it would be.
Okay. Now, you know, if you set a beacon, say, for Battlefield 3, but you're off playing something else, and somebody else comes on and they have Battlefield 3, you'll see that they're...
Yeah,
you'll see the
now,
beacon announcement.
The thing is, sometimes I switch on the Xbox. I know I want to see other people's beacons. So I'm like, what is everybody else playing? But I can't.
Right.
I can only see kind of like their latest activity, which is not really...
Okay.
Beacons. So I'd like to see what beacons are active on my friends list, and then...
Got it. So you were hoping you would actually see a list of flags of all these people are looking for you to play with them.
As well as you can, well, you the parties you can't see as well anymore, but hey, you could see the parties before, you could see the beacons like that as well.
Okay. And you still can see parties, I believe.
Yeah, not very well, though. Not very well.
Yeah, but it's
the other thing about seeing your parties as well, it's hard to get to, plus when you get to it, sometimes you get like a list of, like a group of avatars that you don't really know, because only one of your friends is in that party, right?
Right.
And before, the kind of names of each gamer tag would kind of swap every 2 seconds. And then eventually you go, you know, Murphy's Law's in that party. That's who I know.
Right.
Now, it stays on the leader of the party. So it's like, you know, amongst the teabag moms, like UK. and I'm like, who else is in that party? I don't know. It doesn't name swap the party. So I don't know whose party that is or who my friends
right,
is in
right.
it.
Interesting. So, okay.
Weird. Okay. But I do like the search. I think the Bing search is good because every week Stu Fowler from the Veteran Gamers UK gives us a indie game to play, which we don't want to play, but we have to because I don't know why. And like it's a pain in the ass to find it. But if I go to the Bing search and just type in crap indie game or whatever, it comes up. So it's really quick. Yeah,
it makes it useful for sure.
I find really annoying about.
Do tell.
Is on the week that it came out, my kids decided to lose my chat pad. So it's probably the most I'd ever need to use my chat pad is since all this Love Film stuff and everything's come out, and now I can't type anything.
But
that's not Microsoft's fault.
No, that would be your kids' fault.
I like it. I've enjoyed it so far. I mean, I got the YouTube down today.
Right.
Seems a bit restrictive, but I can understand that because I've obviously got a sense of stuff.
Now, interestingly enough, on the YouTube stuff, you can literally go in under the search and type in whatever words you want, and it will pull from all of YouTube. But the initial dash is just all the kind of what they want you to see.
Yeah, because as you get into the search then?
You click Y. And it brings you to a search. And at first, I thought it was just an alphabetical search. And I was like, oh, fuck, that's going to be brutal. But it's actually the alphabet listing. And you can just basically scroll and click on each letter. Or if you had a chat pad, you could type in what you wanted to search for.
Yeah.
So you just type in like Skyrim and it will pull all videos related to Skyrim.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it on the surface, it feels like it's very restrictive, but it is all of YouTube.
Talking of which, did anybody see that Battlefield 3 YouTube video?
That Battlefield 3 YouTube video.
That is brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, a little more specific.
No, it's the one with the jet. Where so this is what he does. He's in a jet, and he points the jet to the sky, right? And then he ejects out the jet, jumps out the jet, gets a rocket launcher, shoots another jet and gets back to his own jet, and then flies it back to normal. And there's an extended version of the video, and he does it twice, but the second time he doesn't do it quite well. And he lands the jet after, like, screwing it up, and gets out, and then dies. So he lands the jet even before he died, when he screwed it up. That is phenomenal. Brilliant. He's my new hero.
He's my hero, just from the simple fact that he can pilot a jet in that game.
He can land a jet, and repair it, and then take it off again. What the hell?
Awesome.
Also, Battlefield does look better on the PC, I must admit.
Oh, yeah.
He's playing it on the PC, and he's like, wow, that looks so much better.
Yeah, I think that goes almost without saying.
Still dead, though. Still dead.
Okay. Steve, have you had a chance to play around with the new dashboard?
I know this kind of makes me a bad 360 owner, but I did finally yesterday, Monday.
Okay.
update my 360. Good and bad. I mean, I've only played around with it a little bit. Just that, I mean, I got to admit, I was lost right off the bat. You know.
Right.
But I will say that the I think the darker and richer tones, I think it's a little more visually, like, aesthetically pleasing to the eye. But by the same token, why did I have to download my Netflix again? You know.
Yeah,
that was a little annoying.
Yeah. Well, I think that's because there were some changes around the apps and how they function.
Well, at least Netflix works for you. Love Film didn't work for me when I did.
Didn't it?
But it still took my hours away. I have 4 hours a month, right? And I had like 2 hours left. I played a film just to test it. I think it was Get Smart, you know, that Steve Carell. I wasn't really interested in what film it was. I just wanted to test it. I played it, and it says error, and it still took my minutes away. So I had 8 minutes left, and I was like, WTF.
I just don't know why. Like,
fuming I was.
If it knew that you had those automatically, I kind of wish that it would have automatically downloaded and installed my Hulu Plus and my Netflix apps.
Well,
you know?
There's a reason why it doesn't work that way now. So everything like Hulu Plus, Netflix, they're all considered apps now. And the reason why they're apps, whereas before they were actually part of the system.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you downloaded it, you downloaded everything and it was just there. Now you can download the pieces, and what it's going to allow them to do is add apps at will, as opposed to having to do a complete dashboard update. They're going to be able to add in different apps like HBO Go. They can add that on the fly, just like they did with YouTube, you know, the other day. Nobody saw, or there was no big announcement, they added YouTube in as an app. And they can just add it in on the back end. It appears, and you don't have to worry about doing some major dashboard update. You just find it in the App Store.
Yeah, I get that. But I just wish that the firmware update was intelligent enough to say, hey, this guy has Hulu Plus installed. This guy has Netflix installed.
Okay.
And automatically draw the apps as it aggregates. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a minor annoyance relatively, I guess. But I just I couldn't even find it at first, and I'm like, oh, you mean I gotta download this again? But for all intents and purposes, unification is always a good thing. So I think in the long run, it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, but it's something worth bearing in mind as these apps start to grow. Can you imagine iTunes getting away with that?
Well, I mean, apps is a buzzword now.
Oh yeah, so. It's definitely the buzzword.
Yeah.
Mr. Matthew, what about you? Dashboard update. I know you have Kinect now. I don't know if you've tried using that at all. I know you were having some issues before with it. So,
I gotta rework my Kinect setup. I think the problem with it is the way I have it set up. In order for it to see me as I'm standing, it has to be turned up at like a 30-degree angle. So when I'm sitting on the couch, I've literally got to hold my hands over my head like a gibbon aggressing for a mate in order for it to recognize my hands. So I bought a little plastic dealio so I can set the Kinect sensor on top of the television. And so I'm hoping when I retweak it, that's going to make it more usable.
Yeah, that's how I have mine set up.
Yeah. So that should clear it up a bit. As far as the new dashboard goes, I like the home screen, kind of like, you know, you log in and you've immediately got some tiles that give you lots of information right away.
Yeah, quick play thing's really good as well.
The sing in?
Yeah.
The quick play.
Yeah, the quick launch for all your XBLA titles and stuff. That's handy.
Yeah.
And I can certainly see how that would be useful with Kinect, because you've got these big targets where you can kind of hover your hand, you know, and lock it on. So that's cool. I don't like the way the friends list is sorted now. It's a little bit harder to find who's doing what.
Yep.
Yeah, I think we can all probably agree on that.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you can always just go right back to the old Blade system by pushing the big silver button. So,
yeah, that's what I've been doing.
I have to check again, but it seems like when I go to the videos section of the new – maybe it is called the dashboard. But if you'll notice, when you press the silver button to exit out of a game, it says Xbox Home now and not dashboard.
Yeah,
that's right. Anyway, it seems like my Netflix isn't under my video apps where it ought to be. I have to go all the way down to just apps.
Yep, that's where Love Film is as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a minor inconvenience.
Stupid.
I did end up turning off all of my beacons because they were driving me crazy. so now at least I only get pop-ups when I'm playing a game if one of my friends who has a beacon for that game logs in. That's the only time I get pop-ups. Because the first day, all I had was a beacon for Battlefield 3, and it was like every 30 seconds. So-and-so is online and would like friends to play Battlefield 3. So-and-so has started playing Battlefield 3. So-and-so is online. And I was just like, holy crap. So I turned that off. I think maybe Microsoft, I hate to give any credit to Sony because that's just not what we do on this podcast, but I think one thing Sony has gotten right is the way notifications pop up when you're in-game. You know, if you get a trophy or a message or whatever, it's just a little box that shows up in the corner of the screen and fades away. There's no huge clanking, you know, suppository pill that covers up the very important piece of the map you're supposed to be reading at that moment.
You know, my wife gets so angry when we watch Netflix on the 360.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, why is it that blink all the time? What is that? And I'm like, that's, you know, when somebody comes online, she says, well, why does it do it and give you, like, it does it, it's the same sound for everything.
Yeah. I mean, you could turn off the notifications, I guess, when you're watching Netflix. Right. But
yeah, but I mean, that's a hassle. It'd be different if there was, like, a button on the back of the controller that was, like, disable notifications and you could just press it at will, you know?
Or you had a default setting where, you know, when I'm running Netflix, turn off my notifications.
Yeah, I mean,
there is one for that, isn't there?
Yeah, sure there is. There is
something for video. When you play video, you can
turn off notifications.
Oh, I'm going to have to look at that. Where is that?
Settings.
Okay.
Settings.
Sweet. Imagine that. It's in settings. Be like just now, because I'm playing a game while I'm podcasting, because that's what I do. Somebody came online and covered up the speedometer on my car while I was trying to drive around the track. Yes. Not a horrible inconvenience, but, you know, less than ideal. So those were my thoughts. I did forget a game in my list. I played some Battlefield Bad Company 2 last week because I realized I'd bought the Vietnam DLC because Rich wanted to play it, and then we never played it. But I decided to go ahead and play that.
I'm still waiting for our Onslaught Battlefield session that I bought for half price. No one's played that with me. We all said, oh, we'll play it with you, chill. Yeah.
Well, you just got to invite us. Well, I'll play it. I don't care.
The truth of the matter is, it really wasn't that good.
Really? Yeah, I loved it.
I loved it as well.
I didn't care.
That's some good nights on that.
But it was really good. It was hard on the hardcore mode. It was tough.
Back on point.
Those were my thoughts on the new dashboard and my alibi for the what you've been playing segment. I will say Battlefield Bad Company 2 Vietnam, not so good. Not so good.
You know, I think the thing that disappointed me about that game, and I'll make this very quick, was the fact that it felt very limited. You had three maps to play on, and you had just a handful of weapons, and it was all separate from Battlefield Bad Company 2, so you couldn't, like, bring in other, you know, it felt like a different experience, and I was hoping they would just have those maps with all the other weapons and stuff in Battlefield Bad Company 2. But anyway. So the only other thing I would probably throw in on the new dashboard, and this is, you know, Kinect related, certainly it definitely works better for Kinect users. You're no longer having to switch over to this separate dashboard, which they used to have Kinect users doing, which felt like, you know, it was kind of like you were the redheaded stepchild. because it was a gimped version of the dashboard. You didn't have a marketplace. You didn't have really the ability to do any of the normal functionality that you could on Xbox Live. So that's gone, and now you're just in the dash, whether you're in Kinect or in normal controller mode. And the gesture stuff, the hand gesture stuff, all works fine, but I find the voice stuff, the voice commands, are awesome. It all works so incredibly well. And it's funny because, I mean, I will turn on my Xbox and I don't even so much always bother with even finding my remote control. The controller. Half the time I'll just say, you know, Xbox profile 2, and it'll pop in my profile, load me up right away. And then I can say launch game. I can go to the marketplace and literally navigate just using my voice. So I'll be in the kitchen making myself a sandwich or whatever, and I'll be telling the Xbox what I want it to do to set up a game or whatever. So I have to give them huge props for how they integrated that, because it definitely works better than it did before. But okay, I guess that wraps it up for what we've been playing. And I guess now we can talk about some new releases.
Sweet!
All right, so new releases this week. On the Wii, a big fat nothing.
Ha! So that's the...
The only thing coming out this week, I think, are Rock Band DLC updates. But Steve, just because you're here, I will give a quick DS 3DS update, which is there is Dr. Lortrek and the Forgotten Knights coming out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Are you really that excited for it?
No, I just had to make it sound good.
Okay. But, you know, a game you might get excited for, of course, it's only on the DS, not the 3DS, but it's iHeartGeeks.
No, I'm way above original DS.
Okay. My bad. Yeah. Let's move over to the PS Triple. On the retail shelves, nothing new, but a lot of download and PSN stuff going on. So we've got PSN games coming out. Alice Madness Returns, Call of War is Bound in Blood. Mike, I think you liked that game. Family Feud Decades, and Red Faction Armageddon. Minis, we've got the Marbians, and a couple demos, The King of Fighters 13, and Winter Stars. DLC front brings us Assassin's Creed Revelations, the Ancestors Character Pack, Duke Nukem Forever, the Doctor Who Cloned Me DLC, and Pinball FX2, the Marvel Pinball Vengeance and Virtue Table. Moving over to the old Xbox 360, again, nothing on the retail shelves this week. But the Xbox Live Arcade sees Joe Danger, the special edition, come out this week.
Wow, they're getting Joe Danger.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And there's Avatar Awards to be had for that.
Cool.
So a little video on that. DLC front, lots to talk about this week on the 360. Assassin's Creed Revelations Ancestors Character Pack comes out. Bastion, the Stranger's Dream DLC comes out. It's only $1, so it might be worth checking out. Battlefield 3, Back to Kirkland finally comes out to the 360 this week, as well as PC. Duke Nukem Forever, The Doctor Who Cloned Me, comes out. Fruit Ninja Connect Holiday Pack, it's free for those Fruit Ninja lovers. Might have to check that out. Gears of War 3, Ram's Shadow, comes out this week. I'm actually very curious about this. And then, of course, the Gunstringer. How could we forget about the Gunstringer? We're going to be talking about that later on. But Real Big Shootin' DLC comes out this week. Magic the Gathering 2012, the expansion number 2, comes out this week. Here's one for you, Rich. Orcs Must Die, The Lost Adventures, out this week.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow.
Yep.
320 points.
Yes, it is. Well, maybe. Who knows? You'll have to tell us. Or not. Because you'll be playing Defense Group. We know. Pinball. Pinball FX2, Marvel Pinball, Vengeance of Virtue, also out this week. That's actually a pretty hefty DLC pack for that. $10 for that that table.
I got one of the Marvel ones not long ago.
Yeah. Was it $10?
No, you can buy the tables on your own, can't you? I paid $200 for the Fantastic Four table.
That's fantastic. Good. I had to say. All right. But hey, that's new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, so news this week. We're just going through the news headlines today, but some I don't know, not really big news, but kind of big news. NPD numbers came out. Some interesting stuff came out from that. So I'll run down the software list. Steve, I'm going to have you do the hardware list, if you don't mind.
All right.
So software, we have starting at number 10, going up to number 1, Batman Arkham City. And number 9, The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword. Number 8, Saints Row the Third. Number 7, Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception. Number 6, Madden NFL 12. And number 5, Just Dance 3 on the Wii and 360. Number 4, Assassin's Creed Revelations. And number 3, Battlefield 3, hanging in there nicely. Number 2, Elder Scrolls 5, Skyrim. And, of course, at number 1, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, with the reported 9 million units sold in November.
Duty.
Yeah, that's pretty hefty.
Is anybody else kind of, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I look at that Drake's Deception number, and I guess it's reported around 700,000.
Right.
I mean, those are strong numbers, but that game was out for 30 days of that month.
Yeah, it does feel a little low
for
an exclusive like that on the PS3. Now, granted, this is only North America, so I'm sure it fared better worldwide altogether. But, yeah, I would have thought it would have come in a little higher, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
But, all right, hardware, Steve. Let's talk some hardware numbers.
Hardware. At the bottom of the rung, the Nintendo DS, 350,000, down 77%. The Nintendo 3DS, 795,000 units, which I'll tell you what, I mean, two games have made the world of, the world of difference for the Nintendo 3DS, I think.
Yeah.
The Wii, 860K, which still isn't really that shabby. It's down about 32%. But then you look at the PS3, it's around 900,000 units, which is up pretty far. But the Xbox 360 still comes in and stomps everybody with 1.7 million units.
That's some pretty crazy numbers considering where the rest of the competition was. I guess that's probably the better barometer to look at. I mean, almost basically doubling up everybody.
I mean, I think you look at all that, and I think that the recession really isn't hitting the gaming industry, I don't think.
Well, I mean, what do they always say? In recession times, people gravitate towards entertainment. They gravitate towards video games and home entertainment, so maybe it's not all that surprising that these systems are doing well, especially as their price points are coming down. It's becoming a little more affordable for these people to seek them out.
I can't wait to see the December numbers.
Should be interesting.
Yeah.
Rich.
Yeah.
UK. We have some UK numbers here. I thought it was it'd be nice to kind of toss these in, see how the UK was looking software-wise.
Yes, quite interesting. Number 10 is Mario Kart 7.
Yay! Yeah.
Interesting that, yeah, I know, it's interesting that it made it on the list in the UK, and I don't know how long it had been out in the US, but didn't get even a look.
I think it
Mario
just came
Kart
out.
Always. Mario Kart always as well.
December 4th here it was.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, continue on. Number 9, we had Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception. Number 8, I've just put it in right now, Saints Row the Third.
Oh.
Number 7, Professor Layton and the Spectre's Call. And number 6 is Battlefield 3. And we've got Assassin's Creed Revelations at number 5, FIFA 12 at number 4, Just Dance 3 at number 3, and Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 at number 2.
Wow.
Number 1, it's not number 1 Call of Duty. Uh-huh. How big a shock's that? Number 1 is Skyrim.
That's pretty surprising.
Who'd have thought?
I know.
Who'd have thought?
Wow. So, pretty interesting. They flip-flopped between the US and the UK. But good on all those games. I still am amazed to see Just Dance so high up on the list.
You say that every week.
It's one of those games. You just think, how can it possibly be that popular? But apparently, they've done something really good in that game that people just like.
I'm kind of alarmed at the lack of Skyward Sword. I figured it would have been in the top 10. Man. I wonder where it's at.
Not in the top 10.
Yeah, obviously.
So the other big piece of news that we'll go through real fast was the VGA Awards took place over the weekend. I guess I'll go on a little bit of a soapbox. I think the VGA Awards are, quite honestly, nothing more than a giant video game trailer infomercial. And they have the facade of these being an awards ceremony, but nobody cares about the awards. You're just tuning in to see what exclusive trailers they've managed to capture, to get onto the show.
It's an industry hand job, and it is a platform for them to bring out stars that are trying to be relevant because they have some piece of media releasing in the near future.
Yeah. So now, Steve, I know you saw it. I watched it. Did anybody else here see the show?
Hell no.
I just saw some of the trailers.
You didn't miss much.
Yeah, you really didn't. We'll go through real fast. I mean, probably the biggest, relevant trailers that were shown is in terms of stuff that we didn't know about or hadn't seen in a long time. Fortnite from Epic Games, that's their new game coming out. Looks like it's kind of a mishmash between Team Fortress, Minecraft, mm-hmm. and it's kind of based on like a horde mode. I don't know. It's kind of the vibe I got.
Yeah, it seems like it is Minecraft for people that get for graphic snobs. You know what I mean? Like people that get hung up on the 8-bit style of Minecraft that Fortnite is for them.
I think it's either going to be incredibly brilliant or it's going to be a huge turd.
Mm-hmm.
The Last of Us from Sony. Naughty Dog's making this game, so that's their new game, The Last of Us. Yeah. A lot of debate whether it's a zombie survival game. Naughty Dog is on the record saying it's not about zombies, but it kind of looks like it's at least a zombie genre type game. But I guess we'll find out more about it. But they're saying it's more about the relationship of the father and the daughter that are the main characters. So we'll see.
I thought the interesting thing about this was the setting, because it gave me sort of a feel of I Am Legend, mm-hmm. as if the apocalypse had been around for a while, so that could be quite interesting.
With a touch of Enslaved, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
The lead
guy
from Enslaved is working on it.
Is he?
Yep.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Just please, no contextual animations and no muddy controls, please.
No,
this is Naughty Dog we're talking about.
I know.
They did confirm it's going to be a third-person game, so I have a feeling we're going to be getting some of that.
Yeah.
Command & Conquer Generals 2 being made by BioWare. I was kind of let down by
that. They made that Sonic RPG, didn't they? Remember that? Like they made a Sonic RPG for PS.
They do step out. This feels like such a departure from everything else they've been doing. I mean, I guess it potentially could be exciting, but I don't know. I've long kind of gotten past Command & Conquer. I've never really got into it.
I mean, is it possible that maybe BioWare reincorporates some RPG elements and maybe makes this relevant again? But whenever they showed that, I went, that's what they're working on.
And as much as I want to say they would do, what you're saying, Steve, and bring in some RPG elements and make it different, it's Command & Conquer, which is almost like Bible sacred in the RTS
world. Yeah, you got a point.
And I just don't know how much they're going to be able to change that.
And I don't know what I was disappointed by more, that or the next one on the list.
Yeah, so Metal Gear Rising made its comeback. And the big surprise, it's not being made by Kojima. It's actually they pushed this off to Platinum Games. And I guess apparently the way the story goes is the game actually was being canceled. They were going to cancel Metal Gear Rising, and Platinum Games had come over and they were doing a studio visit and had expressed how excited they were for Metal Gear Rising. And they decided this might work. So they handed it over. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of okay with this because Platinum Games, they have shown the ability to do some good stuff when it comes to action, you know, an action type combat game. You know, Bayonetta was solid.
Yeah. So was controls in what was the other one we were talking about last week? Gears of War type thing.
Oh, Vanquish. Vanquish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lengthy resume. I mean, you know, like Okami and Mad World and, you know, the ones that you just mentioned. But, I mean, if you were afraid that you were not going to get your recommended daily allowance of Japanese-ness or Japanosity, you don't have anything to worry about because Platinum Games brings that anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, other than that, there was the Rainbow Six trailer. I guess we should mention that because I know a lot of the community is going to be interested in about that. Looks like they definitely are going for kind of some of those moral choices, kind of shock and awe kind of
you think?
Story. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I want to see more, but I'm pretty excited for Rainbow Six. I think it's going to be good.
No, it'll be good. It'll be good. But like that whole kind of, it'll be really controversial.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay. I don't know. People love Rainbow Six, so it's going to do fine. But it looks like they're trying too hard to me a little bit.
It could very well be. Could very well be. So the last thing is, I made some notes on just some of the good parts of the VGAs and then the bad parts. And you feel free to add in whatever you guys want, Steve, if you want to add into this. But Zachary Levi was the MC for the show. I thought he actually did a good job. For the most part, he came across pretty genuine and fairly funny. And they did this thing about, you know, they had a little skit about if you went too long on your speech, that they would have this guy come out dressed in probably the gear that Chris wears to work every day, camo fatigues and, you know, basically an army outfit, and he would teabag you.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It was funny for a second.
The bit there was funny. It was, you know, it wasn't overly done, but they brought that back later on. They actually teabagged the Activision, one of the Activision CEO guys, on stage, and it just felt like kind of one of that cheap gag, you know, just we're going to do it because we said we would do it, and who better to do it than to Activision?
Yeah,
but you can't, you know, it just felt forced. Felicia Day was backstage doing just odd interviews.
Oh, that was useless.
Bizarro things like wall Velcro for charity. And it just, wow. Again, yeah.
I'd much rather see her in like a form-fitting evening gown. I'm sorry. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
You dog.
Yeah. And then most of the trailers that they showed, I mean, really outside of the ones that we just listed, everything else was already kind of known. I guess maybe the other one was Tony Hawk, but who cares about Tony Hawk anymore?
Well, I mean, if there was any question, we now know that Commander Shepard can run.
Yes. They had a Mass Effect 3 trailer that literally felt like a big letdown. And then Hulk Hogan announcing stuff. Why? How is he relevant now? And probably the worst offense, Charlie Sheen.
Oh.
Was he there? God.
He looked horrible.
Yes, he looked like death warmed over. He did an announcement for one of the Game Awards, and it was like, really? Charlie Sheen.
Wow.
So God. Apparently that is winning for Charlie Sheen.
You know what I say? I will say overall, I think it's the best one yet.
It's not saying much, Steve.
It's not saying much, but, I mean, it was at least passable. But, like, I didn't watch it right away. I DVR'd it, and I bet you I fast-forwarded through probably about an hour and 15 minutes, only watched about 45 because, okay, they say Game of the Year nominee, Batman Arkham City. Well, I've already finished it. I really don't want to watch that again. So, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I get excited for this stuff, and I'm always let down, and I should know better than to, you know, get excited for it.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move into the conversation about our Game of the Year nominees. So, Mike, I'm going to have you go real fast.
I knew you was going to pick me first.
Yeah, you knew it was coming. Run down what we've already kind of decided on. And we do have a couple outliers that are sitting there that's possible write-in games I have in there as well. But
okie dokie.
Hit it.
I'm just trying to find it. Where is it? Is it in like the normal show notes, is it?
Yeah, in the normal show notes. So I'll start it off. I mean, best motion/casual game. We narrowed it down to three. And again, this is motion or casual game. It didn't have to be a motion and casual game. We have Fruit Ninja, Sims 3, and Little Big Planet 2 with a possible write-in of Gunstringer. It's kind of hanging out there, maybe going to make it in. And I'll let
next
you take
one.
Over, Mike.
The next one is the worst game or biggest disappointment category. And the top three we got Brink, Mining Jack, and Dragon Age 2. And a writing game is L.A. Noir. Could possibly sneak in. Do you want to do the next one?
Yep.
Should I carry on doing?
Yep.
Best Overlook game. In this one, it's going to be Warhammer 40K Space Marine. Some people like that, apparently. Little Big Planet 2, which everybody's forgot about. And Infamous 2. And one of the write-ins that could sneak back in is Resistance 3, which Stuart Fowler from the VeteranGamers.co.uk will fight to the death to get that one in. Best weapon/gadget/feature in a game. We got the Wing Stick from Rage, the Drake Sword from Dark Souls, and the Magnet Gun from Red Faction Armageddon. The writing weapon is the Mutator from Resistance 3, and the Nano Suit from Crisis 2. A couple of kind of ones on the sidelines ready to get in the category. Worst weapon/gadget/feature in the game. Tactical Light Battlefield 3, I think that's going to win. Connect Driving Forza 4. And the horses in Skyrim, just generally all of
horses,
them.
Horses in Skyrim could make
it. Yeah, they could win. Pamela's a Bitch Award. Broken Tech in Gaming goes... the nominees are Sony PlayStation Network for just screwing up everything. The Battlefield 3 servers, which everybody knows they're rubbish anyway. Modern Warfare 3 Elite, the paid service, went down. The best sport/sim category is Forza 4. FIFA 12 and F1 2011. And then the best supporting character, which is still undecided.
Yes, which we need to decide right now.
I think Steve should be the guy.
Steve's going to have some input. Certainly Chris can have some input here.
Oh yeah.
I have done my homework. I certainly have some input to throw in on this.
So the nominees at the moment, right, are Victor Sullivan from Uncharted 3, David Sarif from Deus Ex Human Revolution, and the two that we can't decide on are Wheatley from Portal 2 or Cave Johnson from Portal 2.
Yes. Now, Richard, Mr. Primrose, he argued for Cave Johnson, and you, Mike, had argued for Wheatley. Last week's show, it was just the three of us. I, unfortunately, had not had the pleasure of playing Portal 2. I didn't really know either of these characters and who had the stronger performances, more presence. So I did my homework, watched a lot of YouTube videos of the different characters and voice acting. And so I have some opinion on this. Mr. Matthew, I don't know if you played Portal 2 or not.
Nope.
Okay. I don't know if you have any opinion on this.
Wheatley sounds cooler.
All right. So, Steve, I know we actually have talked about this between the two of us. I'll let you chime in first on your thoughts.
I think they're very, very close. And even Rich and I, Rich, we kind of went back and forth on Twitter a few days ago.
Ah, yes.
I do believe that Wheatley edges out Cave Johnson only for the fact of Cave Johnson is a character, but he's more of a disembodied voice than Wheatley is actually on screen, has some emotional animation between like the shutter of his eye, I guess you would call it, and you know the rails of the core, but I don't know. I think that if you're going after best supporting character, he is an actual, like, physical character.
Okay. You know, I'm pretty much in line with you on this one, Steve. So,
oh my god, I fought to the death for him.
Cave Johnson.
And then you could, Steve, gonna... no, I fought for Wheatley, and you was going, no, I'm Reverend Barrett, Cave Johnson. And then Steve pops along, and you're on his side. What WTF, man?
Just relax here, Chief. Just relax. So no. I listened to and watched a lot of the different video on Wheatley and Cave Johnson. My kind of what I factored in is, one, the amount of dialogue Cave Johnson has in total is about maybe over about 12 minutes worth of dialogue. Wheatley's got over an hour's worth of dialogue in that game.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of one thing that had me swaying towards Wheatley. Certainly he has a much more prominent role in the game. The second thing I noticed with Cave Johnson, basically Cave Johnson is the founder of the portal place.
Aperture Science.
Mm-hmm. What he's saying is kind of, in a sense, kind of a funny, I don't know, like guide, if you will. You know, this stuff that the things that he's reciting very well could have just been instructions on a wall plaque as you came into a room. But it's funny because of the way he reads it. But at the end of the day, I don't find it to be a character. I find Cave Johnson merely to be, as Steve kind of put it, a disembodied voice reading off some kind of warnings or instructions to you. And yes, it's very funny stuff, but I just don't think he is a supporting character in the truest sense. And
it's
Wheatley,
wonderfully delivered.
Yeah.
But Rich, Skull actually has a pretty good counter argument to that.
I did indeed.
Yeah, you did.
One that would be, and it would go along as well, sort of with what Greg's saying about it being a guide, and also that what Steve's saying about just being a voice and not a character. Could you not say the same of GLaDOS?
You could. You could say the same about GLaDOS, except
but you actually
for,
see GLaDOS there.
Yeah, GLaDOS is
briefly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Right, but the other
three
thing,
times.
But the
no.
important, but the important thing to understand here, the important thing to understand here, is we're not talking about GLaDOS. We're talking about Cave Johnson versus Wheatley.
Yeah,
and to me, I really feel Wheatley is the stronger presence character. Cave Johnson's stuff is funny, extremely funny, but it's very brief and short in the big picture of things, and that's why I am putting my stamp on Wheatley.
Yeah, I think Cave Johnson is the succulent meat in a Wheatley sandwich, if that makes any sense. Wheatley is actually the sandwich. He sandwiches in the performance by Cave Johnson, or of Cave Johnson. But I think that I think it's really close. I think Wheatley just barely edges him out. Barely.
Rich, are you still going to talk to us after this?
Yeah, whatever.
All right. So it's decided. Wheatley, Victor Sullivan, David Seraph, Cave Johnson's out.
Oh, Adam.
All right. At this point, we're going to do a little show break. And when we come back from it, we'll talk about our actual categories for this week. So we'll see you in just a little bit.
Who's rapping? Over keen. Dragons? I'm not over keen. I'll dice them like a knife, slicing right through an aubergine. My dragon shout flow is sweeter than a soda stream. You won't believe your eyes. I'm like an overload of dopamine. A broadsword in one hand and a magic spell in the other. I'm the last of the dragonborn. There's no other. My brothers have run for cover. If you've got scales, then I'm on your tail and I will not fail like a free-roaming sandbox game. I'm off the rails. I walk the trail through awful gales and storms of hail till all the nails are knocked into your coffin. I'm not stopping till you're impaled and I prevailed in the name of the North. I pray to the Lord. You all get a taste of the blade of my sword. I'm taking on hordes of enemies. I face them with hordes of weaponry. The drain of my force, the chemistry comes into play with retorts and recipes. Alchemixing like a DJ. Restoration, restore my energy. My legacy, odyssey, elegy, prophecies written in in heavenly bodies and buried with everybody that ever did bother to mess with me dead. And I'm terribly, horribly, I'm a celebrity, honestly, you're a wannabe, I'm a prodigy. The suggestion you're better than me at being a warrior? Ha! Comedy, it's a gift to me. I don't just spit flames lyrically, but literally. And the Elder Scrolls are scripts in which I've written your obituary. I am the Dragonborn, wearing a hat with badass horns. Hunt over kingdom globally, you're nobody at all.
All right, we're back from the break. And yeah, we're talking Game of the Year stuff. So these are our categories for this week. We've got Best Download-Only Game, Best Multiplayer Co-op Game, and Best Single-Player Campaign. So I'll go through the list on the Best Download-Only Games. We've got Bastion, Orcs Must Die, Toy Soldiers Cold War, Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, From Dust, Outland, Trenched / Iron Brigade, The Dishwasher Vampire Smile, Pixel Junk Side Scroller, Beat Hazard, Fruit Ninja, Torchlight, Crimson Alliance, Renegade Ops, and Doritos Crash Course. Fight. Let's go.
Fight.
I think you're missing a huge one.
All right. What are we missing?
You 360 centrics are so short-sighted. Magicka.
We're not short-sighted. Oh, we got PC, that Zoom thing for our Kinect.
PC bullshit. We're not talking about that.
Magicka is a download-only game, and it is one of the best games of the year, I think.
But I will say this, Steve. This really is console-centric.
Oh, you bastard.
Yeah. We don't like to build our rigs. We like them to build it for us.
I'm telling you, 5 minutes with Magicka and you'd be in love.
It's quite possible. But no. So, from the list, let's start eliminating. So, right off the bat, I'm going to just say Beat Hazard.
Yeah, that's fine by me.
Anybody have a strong affinity for Beat Hazard staying on the list?
No.
Gone.
I'll take the dishwasher off as well, just because I don't really care. But I think it's an overrated game.
Yeah, I mean, I did not have any particular affinity for the dishwasher or Vampire Smiles. Anybody else?
Nope.
Going.
I mean, is it?
Gone.
Here's a controversial one, Outland.
I think it goes. It initially came out last year.
Yep.
You know, I don't see that as being.
I didn't find it to be anything like revolutionary.
I think it's a great game.
I know Rich enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
I think if anybody's going to argue for it, it would be Rich.
No, it's not worth it arguing for it. I've had my Cave Johnson debate. Somebody else have a go.
Gone.
Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet. It was good. I didn't think it was brilliant.
It's no. Alright.
Yeah.
Alright.
Gone?
Yeah.
Alright. Just chime up if you want to fight for something. From Dust.
I'll fight when I'm good and ready.
From Dust.
Nah. Not bothered.
Nah.
Yeah. I didn't. Again, I don't think it's worthy of being top three. Here's one. Well, okay, Renegade Ops. I think that's another one that maybe it got overlooked. I don't know. Maybe it was overpriced, but I didn't find anything about it making me want to say I need this game.
I didn't even finish the demo.
Okay.
Meh.
All right. We're going to cruise right through this.
I can't remember what that game is.
Well, it kind of came out.
That's why it's been removed from the list.
Crimson Alliance. This was the free game that Microsoft gave away.
I can't remember what this game is even.
Kind of Torchlight-esque.
Well, you know, but it wasn't free, right? You could download it for free, but you had to pay.
Oh,
yeah. They made themselves give it away and made you. Well, never mind. Good.
So, Crimson Alliance, I think there's a better version of this game that's on this list, so I say it's gone.
I think Doritos Crash Course was good, but is it really as good as the others? Is it really as good as the others on the list?
I want to talk about this, because Doritos Crash Course to me is like a hidden gem that, I mean, it was
fun.
It's free. It's fun. It was well designed. I mean, it had the whole addictive, you know, seeing what your counterparts had done and trying to beat their times.
I think you're going to struggle to fight for this, to be honest, mate. No, it's fun.
The only reason you're saying this is because you've got a sadistic love of making little kids cry.
It's true.
And you have fond memories of it.
But I think this game gets dismissed because it was the free Doritos game. But it was really good. And everybody was on this when it first came out, playing it. You had all kinds of people doing Crash Course competition.
I don't think it's a Torchlight, Bastion, or Orcs Must Die, is it?
No, I'd agree. Steve.
It did lack the depth, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, for free, I mean, yeah, I can see that it would be kind of fun.
The free part kind of is one of those things that I actually think really works in its favor. It was free, and it was a really good quality game.
Didn't Gate do a little competition with that or something because it was free?
Oh, they had all kinds of stuff going on. Yeah.
Yeah, these are the tough decisions, Greg.
I know. I'm not hearing anybody else coming to my side on this one.
I think you're struggling. You're struggling to defend this.
I know.
It may be a good game, but there's enough games on the list that are better.
All right, fair enough. Pixel Junk Side Scroller. What do we think? I did not play it. I have no Mike. I think you were the Pixel Junk person, if I'm not mistaken.
I am, yeah, but I haven't played this one yet. I do like the Pixel Junk games, though. I think they're great, but I haven't played this one yet, so that's probably a good reason to go not. If no one's played it, then we can't really put it on our list.
True.
If someone on the Game for the Elderly has played it, by all means, speak up. But
it's
yeah. I would defend it if I played it. Probably I'd probably like it. So.
Okay.
So now we are left with.
Yeah, let's go. Bastion. We're left with.
Bastion, Orcs Must Die, Toy Soldiers Cold War, Trench / Iron Brigade, Fruit Ninja, and Torchlight. It's going to be tough.
It is going to be tough.
I vote for Toy Soldiers to get off.
I think I'm there with you.
Really?
Yeah. Surprisingly. As much as I liked Toy Soldiers, I felt like it still had some elements of it that weren't quite right. Some of the mechanics still were a little janky, and in terms of like the multiplayer co-op, I don't know. It never grabbed me.
Yeah, it was kind of limited.
I mean, I really liked Toy Soldiers Cold War, but I'm looking on the list, and I know there's other games that I want to fight for.
Can I apply a little bit of logic that may not actually be applicable in the end?
By all means.
So, from what I see on here, Toy Soldiers, been there, done that. Fruit Ninja, been there, done that. Torchlight, been there, done that.
So that completely doesn't work for me.
I mean, like, I don't know.
I get what you're saying.
I can kind of agree with limiting Fruit Ninja based simply on the fact that it was already released on so many different other platforms before it came to the 360.
Oh, I think that was the one you wanted to fight for.
Was one of the ones I was going to fight for, yeah.
Is it really that? I mean, I haven't even played it on the Kinect
yet. It's fun. And with the Kinect controls, it takes it to a different level of fun. I mean, it's not finger swiping. It's, you know, you're swiping with your hands, and there's just something about Fruit Ninja that is just inherently fun.
Well, I mean, you could say the same thing about Torchlight. Torchlight was fantastic. I mean, I never really played all of it, you know, on the PC, but it was great on the PC, and I imagine that it would be just as great on the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, they applied some different mechanics, and they added a little bit to Torchlight for the 360 version.
Yeah.
It's hard, man.
It's hard.
I don't know that I'm willing to give up Fruit Ninja yet. I think I'm willing to give up Orcs Must Die right now.
Yeah,
no
I agree.
Way, man. No way.
I don't know. I'm hearing great things. I don't know. I really want to play it, but
you can't do that. No way.
I mean, you kind of got to give Rich this one, don't you? I mean, you kind of bit slapped him with Cave Johnson. I don't know.
All right, we can keep it on the list for now. Let's move over to Bastion. Bastion was...
That's the winner of this category, in my eyes. And I'm waiting for it to come to the PSN because I boycotted some right there. Never mind.
Bastion was really good. You know, it was a unique story. The music in it was fantastic. The narrative...
I vote that Bastion stays in. I know I didn't even buy it, but I played the demo and I was really impressed with it. And
I think Bastion has to stay in.
I said like I was going to buy it on when it comes to like Deal of the Week or something, but like now and again people still bring it up like on podcasts and stuff. I'm like maybe I should get that because people are still talking about it and it sounds good. So yeah.
Hmm. All right. So Bastion, it's making our cut. Final three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that means. Where do we go from here?
Hmm.
You know, I go back, I look.
So what's making the final cut? Bastion?
Bastion's on the final cut so far. So we've got to get down to two now out of Orcs Must Die, Toy Soldiers, Trenched or Iron Brigade, and Torchlight and Fruit Ninja.
I don't know too much about Iron Brigade. I have no idea.
Iron Brigade and Trench / Iron Brigade. That's got to stay, man.
That's got to stay. I mean, the co-op and multiplayer in that, and they've added to it with the Iron Brigade update. They've added in a Horde wave mode now. So, you know, it's got the replayability. It's a quality game.
I mean, okay, so do you judge it on that, or do you judge it on its initial release state?
Its initial release date, though, was also awesome. I mean, we had... Yeah. Hours of fun playing that game.
Okay.
Aside from the copyright issues that prevented it from being released in Europe right away, that was a great game.
Okay, so does Torchlight go?
I don't care about Torchlight.
Torchlight might have to go.
So then it comes down to Fruit Ninja and Orcs Must Die. Then, correct?
Get rid of Fruit Ninja.
Thank you, Chris.
Rich, I'll let you have it because I will say this. Orcs Must Die, when I played the demo, I really liked the demo. It just happened to come out right around a bunch of retail games that were coming to me, and I just knew I wasn't going to have time to play it. But I really liked it. So
I did as well.
I can live with that. I can live with that.
I can live with that.
So,
I really think so, too.
Love you, Rich. So that's our final three right there. Bastion, Orcs Must Die, and Trenched Iron Brigade.
Yep.
Sounds good to me.
I'm happy with that.
We can live with that?
Yep.
All right. Rich, I believe I've got you reading off the next set of games, which is Best Multiplayer / Co-op.
Best Multiplayer / Go up. Okay. right. Okay. You've got Brink. That's why I was chortling. Bulletstorm. Killzone 3. Homefront. Gears of War 3. Battlefield 3. Got all these threes. MW 3.
Oh, Jesus.
Uncharted 3. Forza 4. F1 2011, Resistance 3, DC Universe Online.
I'll save
Portal
you time.
2.
I'll take that one off. I'll take DC Universe off
there. Yeah.
Well done.
Portal 2. FIFA
you might
12.
As well hold that one right now. Bold Portal 2.
Yep.
I would take away FIFA 12.
Well, let's get through the list first.
Oh, right. No.
Do your boots, man.
I know.
Trenched. / Iron Brigade, Dead Island, and Assassin's Creed Revelations.
All right, Assassin's Creed Revelations. Anybody here played it?
Nope.
Not the multiplayer, no.
Nope. Greg?
Nope. Bye-bye.
Okay, Resistance 3, I think you can strike off of there because the netcode was actually a mess on release day.
Bye-bye.
All right.
So it was fun, but I don't think that it was in a state that
you could say the same about Battlefield 3, but you know, no way you're getting rid of that.
Yeah.
I would argue that we could get rid of Battlefield 3, but first I want to say...
let's kill off the outliers.
The game that you've been playing the most over the last month, Chris, and you want to get rid of it.
Hey, hear me out, all right? First, I would suggest getting rid of Forza 4 and F1 2011.
I would argue with you on this one.
In this case,
right, go ahead. Here's my reasoning. Forza 4 multiplayer is no different than Forza 3 multiplayer, which is no different than Forza 2 multiplayer, which probably wasn't any different than Forza 1 multiplayer. And the same can probably be said for F1 2011. So while they did add some very excellent features to Forza 4, there's only so much you can do with online racing.
All right, now, here's where I'm going to just completely say I think you're wrong. Forza 4, the club mode completely changed around Forza 4, and it created a community within that game.
Okay, what did that do to actual gameplay? Other than making it easier to get people into a race, what did that do to actual gameplay?
Right, but again, this is best multiplayer / co-op game. It's not that it revolutionized necessarily the actual quote-unquote racing, because, I mean, you know, but you could say the same thing about most shooters.
Yeah, you could. That's why I think Battlefield 3 comes off the list, because it's the exact same thing as Battlefield Bad Company 2. It just looks a little nicer.
I don't think you even have to go there yet. I mean, you could take probably Brink and
Completely
Bulletstorm
overall
off the beginning.
Customization, isn't it?
Well, take Brink and Bulletstorm off, yeah.
All right, let's get rid of Brink, Bulletstorm.
Killzone 3. Resulted to the easy target.
I think, Killzone 3 can go. I mean, I don't think that any... I mean, a lot of people loved it, but...
It never impressed me. There was better shooters out there.
I think Gears has to stay. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you could make the same argument for Gears that it's the same thing over again.
It is.
Gears made a good jump because it completely overhauled the Horde.
The overhaul to the Horde mode...
The addition of Beast Mode.
And the ability to do a little more flexibility in matchmaking. You know, that they can throw the bots in and out of there. You can change the bot.
Let's not forget dedicated servers.
Yeah.
Homefront, even though Homefront was a good multiplayer, how many people really played it? I know, Greg, you played it for a bit, but how many people?
I played it for a long time, but no, we can get Homefront off there.
Well, it was multiplayer of the week again. It was another one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think Uncharted 3's multiplayer is as strong as Uncharted 2. I still don't.
That's fine by me.
Yeah, I haven't touched the multiplayer on Uncharted
2. Neither
have I. I've barely done it. I mean, the co-op's fun, but co-op's always fun. I don't know.
Trenched Iron Brigade, I think we can take off. It is great fun, but it doesn't have the depth that some of these bigger titles do. So I would say that's gone. Mm-hmm. Dead Island, Mike, let's talk about it. You think this should stick around?
I like it. I think it's one of my favorite co-op experiences this year. That's putting it up there with Portal.
Well, so what are your other favorites?
Portal.
Well, what about Dead Island would you say is makes it worthy of sticking around?
The reason another game like it. Find me another game like that. That I can play co-op for people. And it works perfectly. It doesn't even load when I... If I joined your game, Murph, it wouldn't even load. It fades to black and then comes back up again. Doesn't load at all. Brilliant.
Borderlands.
Yeah, but... No, but... they're killing the zombies with melee weapons, I mean.
Man,
well,
I can't wait for
Condemned. I mean, the melee weapons in first person combat has been done.
It's
Condemned.
It's like Fallout, Borderlands, and zombies all into what? There's never been a game like it before.
All right, let's hold off on.
You can have that co-op experience anywhere else.
Let's hold off on that one. F1 2011. I don't think any of us are going to stick up and fight for that.
Well, I will.
Okay.
I haven't played F1 2011, so I'm just basing this off third-person experience, whatever. But if you're going to argue that Forza 4 should stay, I would argue that F1 2011 is a notch above Forza 4 because not only do you have the multiplayer races, but you have a cooperative season mode where you and a friend can drive as a two-car Formula One team.
That is pretty cool. A friend of mine, he's a big F1 fan, Chris, and he's really excited about that. He's pestering me all the time to buy this game so he can play a co-op campaign. and I don't even log.
So if you, I would argue that if you're going to keep a racing game, it should be F1 2011. And you know how much I like Forza 4.
I know. That's a pretty compelling argument to me.
Does the sheer number of people playing these games influence your decision at all?
I'm trying not to let it.
No, I don't want that to be the influence. All right, let's keep F1 for now, and we'll drop Forza.
Does that mean Forza's gone?
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
At the moment,
we have left is Gears of War 3, a game that's like set the standard for like Horde mode, and it's got a great multiplayer that worked from the gate. Battlefield 3, which didn't have a working multiplayer from the gate, but it's still very much a lot of fun. Modern Warfare 3, which is always brilliant, and it's got the survival mode, which is kind of a copy of Gears of War. F1, which is the co-op mode. Portal 2, which is a game that we've never played before in co-op. And Dead Island, which is another game that we've never experienced in co-op. So, I would vote for... Personally,
man.
I think Modern Warfare 3 should go. Because
I don't know.
I think survival mode, right, is boring after a while. I don't think it's as good as people. They should have made it full-player co-op, and it would have been a little bit better.
Yeah, the Spec Ops, I mean...
Oh, yeah, they're good. They're good.
They're good.
How different is the Spec Ops from Modern Warfare 2 Spec Ops?
Not a lot. And they reuse a lot of the single-player maps and stuff. Like
it felt a little different to me. And only in that when I played... Because you can play it either co-op or you can play it in a single-player mode. And quite honestly, the Spec Ops felt a little bit more kind of almost like a cross between the old Spec Ops and the zombie mode, because you're earning cash and you're going and buying upgraded weapons and stuff like that, which I don't recall that being the case in Spec Ops from Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Well, it wasn't.
Yeah. There's also the new Kill Confirmed mode, which I know a lot of people really enjoy. And it's quite a different game mode and brings in a team play aspect into Modern Warfare 3 that has been missing from other, you know, the online matches. I think Modern Warfare 3 stays over Battlefield 3. I'm going to cut one of those two.
Oh, what?
Rich, I love Battlefield 3. You know it, but I think it loses because the only difference between Battlefield 3 multiplayer and Battlefield Bad Company 2 multiplayer to me is they added the jets.
I'd agree with that.
Customization is pretty much the same.
The destructibility is down.
Yeah,
they actually give the destructibility.
They do have more maps. That's an improvement. But it's the same.
More 4-point maps for Conquest.
Say again?
They have more 4-point maps for Conquest. Customization has been changed a lot. The class system was overhauled, and it works a lot better.
They do have the tactical light.
Yeah, but the customization is still down to... You can pick your weapon, you can pick two gadgets, and you can pick two specializations, and that's it.
I will say it is frustratingly aggravating to me that in Battlefield 3 you have to go online to their website to check out your progress on different weapons in terms of how far you are to getting to the next unlock on the weapon specific unlocks.
Yeah.
Whereas the class stuff you see in game and you can check and see, like, you know, I'm this far away from getting my next vehicle upgrade or my next engineer class upgrade, but the weapon specific upgrades you can't see it all in game anywhere. And that just pisses me off. I have no desire. I like Battlefield 3 a lot, but I am not going to fight for it for being best multiplayer.
I want no part of this.
Oh.
Ridiculous. The game that next year, this time next year, you would still be playing, right, at the end of next year, like we was when it was Vietnam and everything, after the game was like a year old, and you lot want to kick it to the curb for the best multiplayer.
See, I don't know that it's the best multiplayer.
Well,
so you're going to keep Modern Warfare 3 in, right, and...
I mean,
when it comes to next year, you will not be playing it.
If it's just enjoyability, I certainly enjoy Battlefield 3 the most out of everyone on the list. But I just
why can't you vote for it then?
I just feel like they didn't. I just feel like they didn't change it enough. They it's still awesome. I just feel like they didn't change it enough, or improve it enough. I should say. I don't know. Maybe if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Maybe that's what they're doing.
I still vote for
Modern Warfare 3 off here.
I still vote for taking Modern Warfare 3 off as well. I agree with Chris.
You know,
I said on this show that I preferred Modern Warfare 3 more to Battlefield 3, but I've played Battlefield 3 more than Modern Warfare 3 online.
Rich, your last argument, I think, is going to save Battlefield 3 right now, which is at the end of the year.
Think so.
No, you made a good, valid argument. At the end of the year, when we're coming around to next September, Battlefield 3 is probably still going to be getting played more than Modern Warfare 3, at least for me.
On this show.
So, all right, kill it.
I'd say in this community as well.
I don't know, man. I don't know, dude.
Our community is some COD faithful zealots.
It's pretty divided in our community, but
kill it.
Yeah, take it off. Modern Warfare 3 gone.
Bye bye.
Send any emails protesting at that to Greg DeLacy.
Absolutely.
So does the fact that
send any emails to it's my goddamn show at shutthehellup.com.
Does the fact that Dead Island was the fact that it was broken at launch, does that factor in at all?
That does factor in a little bit here. Mike, I know you loved it, but I don't think it holds up against these other.
I want to play it, Mike. I really do. I want to steam.
It's a good game, but no, from launch it was a bit janky. So I'll give you that. It's off.
And I don't know. Is there a bigger contingent in Gate of F1 or Gears of War 3?
Oh, Gears 3 for sure.
Yeah.
I think Gears 3's got to stay because there's no franchise that has, in my opinion, got the perfect balance of co-op and multiplayer. They've got 5-player co-op, 4-player campaign co-op, 10-player multiplayer.
It is the complete package, huh?
It really is. I don't see any true compelling reason that F1 2011 is going to stick around on this argument.
Yeah.
I mean, you made a good point for it going, or staying over Forza 4, but
I didn't play Portal 2, so I don't know. But to me, this is the last point that I'll make. A game that has multiplayer and co-op, in my opinion, would win out over a game that is only co-op. But that's just me.
That's actually not a bad argument. What about a game that has only co-op, but has co-op cross-platform that is flawless and worked from day one and never needed one patch?
So you're talking
about PC sounds like a magical place.
Yeah. I mean, because that's essentially what it was. I mean, I don't know.
Wait, Portal 2 was cross-platform?
PS3 and PC.
On PS3 and PC, yeah. Oh. And it worked. It was beautiful. It was fantastic. I don't know.
I made my argument for F1 2011 over Forza 4, but I don't have any basis to compare it to Portal 2.
As a co-op and multiplayer experience, even though F1's probably enjoyable, I don't think it bears in comparison to Portal 2, Gears of War, Battlefield 3.
Portal 2 is required reading, I think, at this point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't played Portal 1, so.
Jesus.
Really?
Really.
Oh, okay. Rich, you want to chime in on any of this?
I only played a little bit of Portal 2 because Mike just shunned me. So I ain't got any sort of, and I haven't played F1, so I can't say. All I could say is that I know there is, although we're saying it's not a big following, as big as what was the same Gears of War, but F1 has got a big following.
It does have a pretty big following on our community.
I vote for F1 to be taken off the list.
Let's put it to a vote. I vote that we remove Portal 2.
I'm not voting. This is your show. I'm not.
Come on.
No. You sound like bloody Nicole bloody shirt singer off X Factor.
You might be the deciding
vote. Yeah. Hey,
here's all right. Here's my vote. I'm saying remove Portal 2.
The fuck? You two haven't even played it, Void.
Bitch.
Portal 2 was my game of the year up until Skyward Sword bitch slapped it.
I'll say I'll remove F1 because I've not played it. I haven't personally got the interest in it. So,
it's two and two. Steve is the deciding vote.
You said Portal 2.
Yeah. I got to say Portal, man.
All right.
I think up until...
We're not going to argue about this.
Strike F1 2011.
Yep. And send hate mail to Steve Kong.
Yeah, to me. All to me. It's the complete package. All right,
Mike, let's move on. Next category.
Send more emails to It's Not His Show at shutthehellup.com.
Next category is best single player campaign. And we have Portal 2, Dead Space 2, Infamous 2, L.A. Noire, Skyrim, Gears of War 3, Killzone 3, Uncharted 3, Assassin's Creed Revelations, Resistance 3, Batman Arkham City, and Zelda.
Oh my god.
Skyward Sword.
This is going to
be brutal.
Be
hard.
Yeah. Right.
Straight away, Killzone 3 goes.
Yes, yeah. Without a doubt.
I'm going to have to...
Resistance 3 goes.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I'm not going to
argument because I've only played two of these games.
Okay. I think Infamous 2 goes.
I haven't played it.
Yeah, it was kind of more of the same. I mean, it was good, but yeah, I think you could take it off.
It was good, but it wasn't great.
She's fuming about Resistance 3, but come on. It's not going to compare Portal Gears and Skyrim, is it really? Come on.
I think Dead Space 2 was turned up to 11 all the time.
Yeah,
I like Dead Space.
I don't know.
I like Dead Space too.
I can't say it should be eliminated yet. I think L.A. Noire.
Yeah, that was.
I'm fine with that. I know. I love it, but I'm fine with that.
I'd say controversially, Batman: Arkham City, purely on what Greg's been saying about it.
Well, there really wasn't a story.
Yeah,
I'm okay with it.
Quite a few negative things about it. Like it's not as good as the first one. But,
yeah,
I'm okay with that.
It's good. Yeah. Bye bye.
Nothing about Assassin's Creed Revelations has me wanting to play it.
But I think it's a side story that's completely meaningless to the overall meta story, like the overall arc.
From what I've heard as well, it's not as good. So bye-bye.
Gone. So we've got Portal 2, Dead Space 2, Skyrim, Gears of War 3, Uncharted 3, and Zelda Skyward Sword.
So let's look at Gears of War 3. Was it really the best single player?
You know... I loved Gears of War 3, but I don't think on this list it makes my top three.
Of single-player campaigns.
Yes, a single-player campaign.
Co-op, maybe.
It's really
good,
but...
It's a good co-op game.
But we're talking about the campaign, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I always play single-player... Sorry, campaign in Gears, co-op, but I never play single-player because I find it quite boring on my own.
If the Queen of the Locust would have turned out to have been Marcus's mum, I might have put it up there. But she wasn't.
All right.
Warning.
I mean,
spoiler.
You might as well take Skyward Sword off of there because I think in the community and the cat, I don't think that there are going to be enough people that play it.
But it had got a worthy mention from Steve.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
so Gears 3 comes off. Skyward Sword comes off. That leaves Portal 2, Dead Space 2, Skyrim, and Uncharted 3. And I'm just going to say right now, I think, and I will fight, Uncharted 3 stays.
I think it does, but I still think that it is good, not great. That was my three-word association that we did on our show last week for it.
Well, I guess maybe, and maybe we go for some clarification here. Do gameplay mechanics come into play, or are we really talking about the campaign as in the story?
I think it's the whole thing, isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I still am really... I do really like Uncharted 3's campaign.
You know what?
It has its problems, though. It's not a perfect thing. But I look at Skyrim, and I love Skyrim, but I also know it has had a bunch of glitches and issues that people have made comments about.
So much. Can I just ask a question?
Yeah.
Because we've got to focus on what it is. Has Skyrim, because I haven't played it, has Skyrim got a really good single-player campaign? And by that I mean, is there a good overarching story throughout the whole of it? Or is it just that we're talking about it's really big open world that's really impressive?
Well, I personally think it actually has a branching kind of overarching story. There's a couple different things going on.
There's like multiple stories.
Yeah, there's multiple main quests within it, and they're all pretty good.
I really enjoyed the Thief Guild storyline.
I kind of differ with that. I think you have to bring a lot of that storytelling yourself and bridge a lot of gaps yourself.
And
I can't
argue with that because, I mean, you know, the reality is, you know, a lot of what Skyrim is the self-exploration, but is that really something to knock on it?
We're not taking Skyrim off.
Yeah, okay. I don't think we can take Skyrim off.
So can we say then that, judging by the lack of conversation about Portal 2, that we know that it's nailed on and it's going to be in there? Is that right?
Yeah. I think you guys would try and hang me if I said we should take Portal 2 off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Portal 2 was amazing, yeah, the whole way through. But
so Skyrim. Really, it's Skyrim and Portal 2 that are staying.
Yep.
And it's Dead Space 2 or Uncharted 3.
Well, I don't know. While I think Uncharted is flawed, Dead Space 2... I hate to forget about games that came out in the beginning of the year.
I hate to forget about games that came out because this was a great game. But I think my one issue with Dead Space was the probably last quarter of that game. I think it took a turn for kind of the worse, and they threw in some cheap tactics into the game.
No, that's ridiculous. Ridiculous statement.
No, but see, it's not. But what about that beast that starts stalking you? That
yeah.
The, where the whole, did that
the
come
tension,
from?
The tension.
I
the
get
pace,
they threw it
and
in
the
there
way
for
that
tension.
It whacked it. Oh man, it just built it up. I've never had that sort of tension in a game before.
I'm willing to take it off for the very fact that it didn't give me any ammo on the last boss, and I thought like that was the way it was. Right, and I spent like 2 hours trying to kill that boss with no ammo, and then I realised it was just me having no ammo, and the game didn't give me enough ammo, and I just about barely finished it because I had to scrape ammo from my previous save. I'm willing to take it off for that very fact that it fucked me off right at the end.
But see, on that same token, I will say, in Dead Space 2, I don't think I ever felt like I was dying because gameplay mechanics were janky and not quite working right. Yeah. Whereas I definitely have had some of that experience with Uncharted 3. But the story in Uncharted 3, I mean, it is so good.
Yeah. Does the fact that Uncharted 3, even a subpar Uncharted 3, is better than probably 98% of the games out there, does that factor into anything?
A little bit. I mean...
I don't know. I'm just kind of thinking out loud. I don't know.
I think we should put Dead Space 2... in the kind of like maybe thing and let people vote for it if they think it's...
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea.
I think if you do that, you're going to more or less certify that Dead Space 2 gets in. Because you've got to
put both of them in the bullpen. Uncharted 3 and Dead Space 2 in the bullpen.
I'd make your decision now.
Yeah, we need to make a decision now. I think it's Portal 2, Skyrim, and Uncharted 3.
I'm willing to step aside because of the fact that there's two guys that are really arguing for Uncharted, and I'm the only one that's shouting up for Dead Space 2.
Dead Space 2 was good, but as I'm comparing the two games, I'm captivated by the story and the whole Uncharted 3 experience, whereas Dead Space 2. For the first half of it, I was really into it, and it waned a little bit towards the second half. And I never truly felt like the story of Dead Space 2 was anything fantastic.
I mean, do you think either of those are better than Portal 2 or no? To be fair?
No.
To be fair, yeah. But I haven't played Portal 2. I think Skyrim and Uncharted 3 are both better than Portal 2 because I haven't played Portal 2.
Well, then I don't think that's a fair statement.
But I think we're going to leave that to the community.
All right.
And we're going to go to moveon.org.
So hard.
What's all right. Moved?
Oh, so,
that's fine.
Yeah. So real fast recap. So tonight we have nailed down best download-only game. Our finalists are Bastion, Orcs Must Die, and Trenched / Iron Brigade. Best multiplayer co-op game, Gears of War 3, Battlefield 3, or Portal 2. And best single-player campaign is going to be Skyrim, Uncharted 3, or Portal 2. And
thank God for that.
Yeah, thank God for that. Let's move on. We're going to transition right over into some community mailbag stuff. We had a lot of tweets. Mike, why don't you take on the first couple tweets?
All right. Doesn't Steve have to go?
He does, actually. I apologize. Steve, thank you so much for jumping on
the
show.
Yeah, I got to run. Yeah, thanks, thank Steve. You very much, guys.
It was fun.
Just a little tiny shout out to you guys. Thanks for having me on. And Chris, I know there were big shoes to fill, but I was the CPM stopgap for a little bit. So you,
job you did.
Yeah, thank you very much. So I don't know, just a little parting shot. I got my humble indie bundle number 4 today. So if you have a PC that's, I mean, they're almost all capable, but great games, and the average is right around $5 that you can pay to get Gratuitous Space Battles, Cave Story, Jamestown, Bit Trip Runner, Super Meat Boy, Shank, and Night Sky HD. So there you go.
Awesome.
Sweet. Yeah. So, all right, fellas, thank you very much. Can't wait to get on those polls and register a vote or two from multiple devices.
Great.
All right, fellas.
All right, Steve, thanks a lot.
Cheers, buddy.
Hey, no problem. See you guys.
Yeah, dude.
Later.
All right, now that he's gone, we can actually do the real votes. No, just kidding.
Skyward Sword.
All right.
Steve might be El Presidor.
He might be.
Skyward Sword, really?
All right, Mike, let's just get into it.
Yeah.
Tweets.
Okay, the tweets. We got one from Kevin Brakefield. Yes, Chris?
Oh, never mind. I didn't know if we were going to read the question of the week again, but I think it's probably the same question from last week.
It is. It's the redundant question. We're just basically asking for feedback. If you think anything that we took off the list should be staying on the list, i.e. Dead Space 2, Dead Island, let us know. Might just get it back in.
All right. Anyway, so Kevin Brakefield says, Cave Johnson, for his while, Wheatley was good, but every time I heard Cave talking, I would stop moving and listen and lull. Both good, Cave plus one. Daniel, Magic Pizza, from all the way from Good Eye, says, best gadget, what about the leash in Bulletstorm? What about the leash, Greg? The leash!
I got nothing to say on that other than, maybe that makes it in.
What are you going to do, Dan? What are you going to do? Dash Bang, I like the way we asked for feedback and then we did nothing about it. Dash Bang says, no resistance 3 stuff in your best weapons bit? # travesty. Needs addressing, apparently. Murphy,
yes, apparently.
We did address that, didn't we? We included that, did we?
Kind of. Yeah, we kind of included that.
Kind of brought that one back. Marty Greasy Fishlips say, sorry boys, I couldn't care less as I haven't played either. But if I did vote, it would be for Merchant, as he's funny. So that's a vote for Wheatley there. Nick P says, both Cave and Wheatley, two masterful realised characters from one of the best written games of all time. # true fact. Stefan Ratcliffe says, what up with Brethren on the last episode?
Breathing. What's up with the breathing?
Breathing. Brethren. Who said brethren in email and it threw me off? What's up with the breathing on the last episode? It sounds like you're all scuba diving or perverts.
I'm the only pervert around here.
And we would have it any other ways. We'd love... A little scared.
Dark Souls. Dark Souls.
Next tweet is from Dave. He says, sarcastic thanks to Overseas Connection Podcast. Next tweet from Dave. Sarcastic thanks to Overseas Podcast and Murphy's Law for getting that Viva Pinata song stuck in my head. You're killing me.
You are so welcome, Dave. Hopefully we'll have another song stuck in your head this week.
Skyrim. Kevin Knight, KevXXXL, says, Okay. Okay. I'll try Dark Souls. Oh. It's on the rental list now. This better be good, Rich.
Another one, Rich. You are converting people. Look at you.
I'm just waiting to see. I've not had one negative feedback yet, so I'm assuming that everybody's playing it and enjoying it.
Okay. Well, we got an email from Parsnip, and it says, a question for Chinny.
Oh, dear.
So we've now established that a large part of what you don't like about Skyrim is how much made-up nonsense is in it.
Yep.
My question is, if Skyrim was entirely populated by people called Dave, Bob, and Fat Terry, and was situated in Wolverhampton, would the game become enjoyable to you? I think the answer just popped into my head. Yes, the game I described is GTA 5, isn't it?
That would be the best game in the world. Like, I would love that.
P.S. Rich.
I should so do that.
Yeah, Rich, have you ever heard of a game called Lost Souls?
Yeah, that's one an indie game manufacturer's writing about in my life since I started playing Dark Souls.
Hmm.
That was a joke.
No one. No, Chris, I've not heard of it. I've not heard of it. Is it a real game or is it just Parsnip being Parsnip?
I think it's Parsnip being Parsnip because there's no context to it other than that question. Chris,
I played a game called Our Souls.
Chris,
that was good.
Why don't you read off the next email from Eric?
Okay. We got an email from Mr. Duke Scath, and he says, yeah, baby, I'm back. I know, you all thought I was gone, and my email got cut off, and then you could just kiss Duke goodbye. Psych. I don't think anybody said that since the 80s. Anyway, I'm here. I'm austere. We don't want any more bears. Okay.
I love Duke, but I have no idea what he's talking about.
I know.
Yeah. No clue. Dude, I love you, Philip Morris. It's a weird freaking movie. Good, but weird.
I love that film. Movies.
Me being CPM. Watch that one and let me know what you think. No. I'll let you know what I think. Skyrim, woo! 95 hours in and I still haven't started the main quest line. Gotta ice some suckers for the Dark Brotherhood. Notice, Dark plus Brothers equals most evil group in the game. Racism! I think you're reading a bit too much into that. I got Web of Shadows from Gamefly because some knucklehead told me to play it and I haven't even touched it for 3 weeks. And I put Resistance 3 on my Gamefly, but I have no idea when I play it.
That knucklehead was me. I told you, he was looking for a good Batman game.
Uh-huh.
And I said, Web of Shadows is pretty fun.
Isn't that a Spider-Man game?
Yeah. Sorry, yeah, Spider-Man game.
Oh.
It's all the same thing.
Black Swan isn't as good as everyone says, but Skyrim is. Hey, what should I give my Secret Santa? It'll be too late when I hear your response, but tell me anyway. We had a discussion about this earlier, and you should buy them a drill.
Magic 8-Ball.
No one else? Okay. Do you have a question of the week? Let's see. Oh, yeah. Something you left out of your poll. How about Driver San Francisco for the best sport / sim? What? Wah, that's not a sim racer. True. Fine. Put it in your best overlooked game. Jerks. No. I would say game of the year, but we all know what's winning that one. Skyrim Duke.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just roll right on in, Chris? Do the Mr. Bed hairdo too.
Keep going. My bad. Yeah, Mr. Bed hairdo says just caught up with your podcast 144 where you talk about your nominations for different categories. I was surprised you didn't have Operation Flashpoint Red River in your most overlooked game as you talked about the game so fondly. I know Chinny had some problems with the multiplayer though.
Oh God!
Hate crimes. What do you think of the new Xbox Dash thus far? Well, we talked about that already.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Red River might have been worth mentioning, but overshadowed by a lot of other things.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. The fact I didn't think about it says something.
Yeah. I can do a little foreshadowing, though, that it will be mentioned again in some point in time in our discussions.
The thing is, though, like, I had so many problems. I was really enjoying it when it worked, but I had so many problems that I just put me off.
Yeah. Well, hey, if you, again, if you have any games that you think we should be mentioning, fire us off a tweet, send us an email, whatever the case may be, shoot it off in the forums. We do take a look at everything, and, of course, we'll kind of recap everything as we start wrapping things up. But for now, let's move on over to community playdates. Chris.
Community playdates. Friday night, we've still got Friday night racing going on, but a slight change this week. David the Alien has agreed to get it started 2 hours earlier, so starting at 9 p.m. on the East Coast. Okay. We'll get the lobby rolling. And then hopefully it'll roll on through the night until all the British people start getting up in the morning. Saturday, F1 2011 tournament rounds 11 and 12, Budapest and Spa. And Sunday, with the veteran gamers, Modern Warfare 3. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yep. Happy birthday to Knives33117, SuperDragon670, Fleetwood Jewboy, and welcome to the new members, Phil UK.
Cool.
Welcome and happy birthday, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Happy birthday.
A little community spotlight from our good friend Parsnip. He said, good evening, people. This week I would like to spotlight Scott Spence, a.k.a. Yummy Bacon, or Yum Bacon,
yep.
The Dino, and Spitfire Ian for organizing our Gate Modern Warfare 3 1v1 event. I can hardly wait for it to begin, and I look forward to being repeatedly murdered in cold blood by Ian. Thanks, guys. Parsnip. And, yeah, thanks for that, Parsnip. And I guess we're kind of at the closing of the show. It's
wow.
A long one. Yeah. Finally got to it. So if you want to email the show, Mike, where would you send an email to?
If you want to email the show, Greg, you have to send the email to ocpodcast@gmail.com. That's ocpodcast@gmail.com. Send us an email. Tell us what you're playing. All that jazz.
If you want to tweet us, Rich, where would you send that Twitter?
@OC_podcast.
Excellent. And, of course, we love iTunes and Zune reviews. And Johnny Boy, Mike just conveyed to me that you had sent him your contact information, so I will indeed get you the code that you won from before.
Yep.
We were just waiting for you. So now that we got you calling us and sending your info, we will get that to you.
Sorry that took so long, Johnny Boy.
Yeah, yeah. Gosh, I guess really it's just shout-outs. So, Chris, why don't you start it off? Go.
I just want to shout-out Thuper, Mudder Trucker, and The Real Defoe for the Gears of War 3 campaign last evening. The last boss battle was freaking brutal, as I mentioned before. I think several people wanted to quit at several different occasions. I'm glad we didn't because now it's done.
Yeah.
And I'm going to shout-out my cadets. Because they just finished their final exam today, and I have to grade it tomorrow, hopefully they all did well, because it's easier to grade that way. Rich?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna shout out to little baby Felicity, who's Mark Davis and Gemma's newly born child. Went through a lot of stress in the last week or so, but... Now with us, so that's good. Great stuff. And Mark, you got to stay online still, mate. You still get a chance. Also, shout out Amazon for basically taking care of nearly all my Christmas shopping. The high street is dead, baby. Yeah, and also Brandy Carlisle. Oh, one of your fellow Americans. Excellent singer. Love her. Just found out... that she had a new album out, live with the Seattle Symphony. Brilliant. Great stuff. Thoroughly enjoying that. So, yeah. Greg.
All right. I want to shout out Duke for setting up the Gears of War 3 playdate. Had a lot of fun with the veteran gamers on Sunday. And you forget how good Gears of War is, especially online competitive. It's fun. And a big shout out to Naughty Dog for almost ruining Uncharted 3 for me. That pirate level, oh, that's tough. That's all I got to say. Mike, why don't you wrap it up for us?
I want to share a YouTube channel that I am absolutely in love with. It's called Vsauce. So if you type in Vsauce on YouTube, it's a guy called Michael something. And he's so interesting and so cool. And he always brings up really weird things that are very interesting to know. Kind of like how you lose everybody. In the world loses 40 minutes of their day because of their eyesight. Really weird facts and interesting stuff going on. So Vsauce, if you want to kill some time on YouTube, it's definitely just a massive time suck, but it's brilliant. So I want to share it with him.
How do you lose 40 minutes from your Charlotte?
You better watch Vsauce.
By watching Vsauce.
Basically, it's got something to do with, you know, when you move, when your eyes move, right?
Yeah.
And you look from point A to point B, so you look from left to right. Now, between the looking from left to right, you have a blurred image. But instead, that blurred image is deleted from your memory so it doesn't disorientate you and your vision. So when you look from point A to point B, something from your left to your right or right to left, in between there's a blurred image, that gets deleted. And each day, that very tiny, tiny, tiny split second adds to 40 minutes a day.
Cool. Okay.
And now you...
Lots of really stupid, interesting facts like that. It's just brilliant. I love it.
Okay. So,
Vsauce. That's
Vsauce.
It.
Vsauce.
Yeah, I don't know who's left. Is it just me?
That's it. No, we're done.
We're done. Sweet.
Has he done one about why yellow snow so tasty?
No.
Has anybody found that out yet?
But he's done why we have a moon, you know, all weird stuff like that. Like, talks about water and how weird water is and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, good. I think the yellow snow conversation will kick it off for us to go. We're done. We're out of here.
Bye.
There's a problem with this call. Hold on while we try to get the call back.
I'm not going to give you the information you need, but I need you to go kill some people, Adam, if you wouldn't mind.
Go ahead, Adam. Come on. I can't talk to you anymore, Primrose. Hey, speaking of Primrose, why are you using that shitty computer?
Because my wife's playing fucking Spider.
Playing Spider?
Yeah, that card game.
Solitaire?
Yeah.
Why do you call it Spider?
I know, I've never heard of that.
It's cool on the PC.
Okay.
Put it away, March, and it's fleshy and veiny.
And can we just get the quick mic check? Make sure all microphones are placed properly.
Hey-o!
Microphone check, microphone
checker. Just double checking. Here we go.
Better fuck with me or I'll break your fucking neck, huh?
Have you just seen that veiny fleshy thing?
No. I can hear you breathing.
Oh, for God's sake, man. After you've done the test.
Yeah, I'm just messing with
still
you.
Not
Oh, Rich, I love you. Come on, you know that.
Listen to this for a touchpad click. I cracked that sound. I was cracking one.
It's not nearly as bad as CPM pounding on his. Mute. Bam! Mute. Bam! All right, here we go.
We're talking veiny fleshy things again.
Yes, we are.
Sorry, I was just clicking my touchpad.
Is Steve doing this for everybody?
Yeah.
You already have a Motion Plus. You don't count.
I ain't got one.
There you go.
I thought you said you were going to let Mike borrow yours.
Steve is reimbursing the internet.
Around the most pluses for everybody.
What? You just missed something else, huh?
What do you mean I missed something else?
PC. Free chaos and destruction's coming out.
Fucking hell. Greg.
Jesus, I missed
that. That's it, I quit.
I never even knew there was a Flat Out 3.
Exactly. Oh, I love Flat Out.
I like Flat Out too, but yeah. I never knew there was a third one.
Yeah, no one cares.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Reasonably priced. We've been trying not to overdo it this year for Christmas, trying to keep our gifts reasonable.
Dude, whatever you do not buy her like silverware or like flatware or like cookware or anything like that. Dude, that'll be the worst thing you can do.
Here's a spatula.
Shut up!
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Some people say,
come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.